Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening, somebody who's been here before, one of your favorites, Esti Wartenberg, who represents with the Recanati Winery for Palm Bay International. Good evening, Esti.
Good evening. How are you doing?
All right. It's been almost 3 years since you were on the show last. Mea culpa, and I apologize for that. So let's start talking not just about the wines, but before that, let's talk a little bit about who is Esti Wartenberg. How did you get into the wine business?
Oh, my gosh. I've actually started in the wine industry in 2001. And I started with the Royal Wine Company in sales. I've been there, I was there for a few years. And then I went to a magazine called the Beverage Media Publications. Over there, I met the folks at Palm Bay, and Palm Bay wanted to put a little bit more energy into their only kosher wine that they carry, which is Recanati, a wonderful wine from Israel, as most people know about this wine, and they asked me to come over there and help them build this brand in the U.S. So I've been with Recanati for 5 years now.
And you deal strictly and only with Recanati, correct?
What?
You deal strictly and only. You deal strictly and only with Recanati wines.
Yes, I am the U.S. Ambassador / brand manager for Recanati Winery. Yes.
Okay. Recanati has a whole slew of wines. Tell us a little bit about the main ones, the best-selling ones, and then let's figure out how we would pair them, both for the four cups and on the subsequent nights, how we would pair them with the different foods that we are likely to eat.
Okay, well, Recanati has three different series. We start with the blended series, which we refer to as the Yasmin series. We have a red blend, which is a Bordeaux style, 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, and 20% Merlot. And we have a white blend, which is 60% Chardonnay and 40% Sauvignon, Sauvignon Blanc. And the second series, we call it the Diamond Series here in the U.S. because it has a cute little diamond logo on the label. We have Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, Shiraz, which I would like to mention that the Shiraz is the only Diamond Series that is Mavushal. The Yasmins are Mavushal too, so we do make Mavushal and non-Mavushal wines. The Yasmin and the Shiraz are both Mavushal, but everything else from Recanati is not Mavushal. We have the Rosé, which is getting rave reviews these days. The Rosé is our Barbera Merlot blend, and we have the Reserve Series. The Reserve Series is very popular. We have the Cabernet Reserve, the Merlot Reserve, Petit Sirah, Cabernet Franc. And then we have very special wines. We have the Wild Carignan. We have the Marcellin. We have a Reserve Syrah Viognier. And we have the Special Reserve Red, which is a blend of Cabernet, Merlot, Petit Sirah, and Syrah. And we have a Special Reserve White. So that is the portfolio that is here in the United States.
The Special Reserve White, which grape is it? Chardonnay?
The 2012 is the Marsan-Roussan blend, which is, it's a 2012, and it's pretty hard to find the 2012 here in the States. The 2011 is Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Viognier. So there are different grapes in the different vintages of the Special Reserve White, which is interesting. So we do put the grapes on the back label. So you'll see if you're looking at 2011, it's going to be different grapes from 2012.
Interesting.
Yes, it is interesting. So some people would prefer these grapes, the Sauvignon Blanc, the Chardonnay, and some people would prefer more French-style Special Reserve White, which is the 2012. They both come in a beautiful white gift box, a gold logo, really beautiful wines. I actually presented the wine today to a retailer in Westchester, and he was just floored by it. It was, he said, one of the best tasting white wines he ever had, kosher, non-kosher. It's an amazing bottle of wine.
What wines would you recommend for the four cups, bearing in mind that, A, if we're going to drink four cups before we eat, most people are not too filled yet. Their stomachs are still half empty or mostly empty. So we don't want any ultra-heavy wine that's going to make them fall asleep or make them feel sick. So let's start with, which wines do you have that you would recommend for the four cups? And bear in mind that the first night, at least, we have to finish the whole thing within a limited amount of time.
Well, I think go straight to the top. I always look forward to Passover, and I always look forward to the wines I'm going to drink. And I feel that if you're going to drink a glass of wine, you want to enjoy it. So I always have a special bottle of wine for Passover. If I can get a bottle of the Marcellin or a bottle of the Carignan or the Special Reserve Red, that's the bottle I want on my table. That's the bottle I'm going to drink the four cups with, because that's going to make the Seder more special to me. It's going to add a little bit of something exciting. Why not make your Yom Tov an amazing experience? So I say get that expensive bottle of wine, share it, enjoy it, make the most. Don't say, oh, I have to drink four cups of wine, I'll drink a mediocre wine. No, enjoy yourself. Make every moment. This is a Yontif, it's a Chag. Make every moment of it. Drink
my
fancy
question
bottle.
Did not mean mediocre wine. My question meant a wine that was fairly light as opposed to a very heavy wine that may be great with a main dish. But if I have to drink four cups of it before I even start, you know, it may be a little too much.
If you want to start light, start with the Shiraz. The Shiraz is a Rhone-style Shiraz, which means it's less peppery than an Australian-style Shiraz. It's very fruity. It's lighter in style, and I feel it's very easy to drink as an aperitif wine. So a Shiraz, the Recanati Shiraz, is really a nice starting wine. And it's like you said, it's lighter in style, and it has that very, it's very approachable and easy to drink. And then as you put the food in your body, then you could, a Cabernet Sauvignon has more body in it, but Cabernet Sauvignon, Petit, it depends on what you like and what you're eating with the Seder. I feel like everybody has a preference.
Bear in mind that the average American Jew will have as a main, he'll probably have a brisket. What would you recommend to go with a brisket that will both have its own individual character without taking away from the character of the brisket? In other words, we'd rather complement the Cabernet Franc. Okay.
Yeah, I think that is perfect for a brisket because you have that
and
mineral quality.
And what would be the price on the shelf?
$29.99 is average.
$30, in other words.
Yeah.
What other pairings would you recommend?
People have soup, I think, a lot with the meal. So for the soup, maybe that rosé would be perfect. Go for rosé. It's lighter in style. It has a minimum body. so it's easy to drink with the soup. If you're going to have a chicken dish, go with the white wine, like a Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc, or the Yasmin White is really nice for a lighter chicken dish because it has light body, it has the qualities of a Chardonnay and qualities of Sauvignon Blanc. If you like a little bit of the oak, but you don't like it too much oaky, as a Chardonnay is usually oaked, and a Sauvignon Blanc is un-oaked, so it depends on your preference. If you have a lot of sauce in your chicken dish, go with the Chardonnay. What other foods do people like to eat? Kugel, potato kugels. I love
right.
Cabernet Sauvignon. I think Cabernet Sauvignon is one of those wines that everybody at the table likes. If you want to have something that everyone's going to appreciate, everyone's going to enjoy, the Recanati Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. I actually brought it to a friend's house for a Shabbat dinner, and people love that bottle of wine so much that I have friends running all over New York trying to, you know, find bottles. That is a great wine if you're having company over and you want everybody to really enjoy their wine. The Recanati Cabernet Reserve is one of those, like, no-brainers. It's one of those crowd-pleasing wines that you can't go wrong with.
Now I'm going to ask an unfair question. Okay?
Uh-oh. Yes.
Israel, which at one point produced more for quantity than for quality, has come a long, long way since in the last 20, 30 years, and is a producer of superb wines that are winning awards throughout the world. Now, I realize that you represent and you're the brand ambassador for Recanati, but here comes my unfair question. How does Recanati compare with some of the other wineries in Israel, the pluses and the minuses? And I
did preface
it by saying it's an unfair question, but...
It's fine. Israel is making amazing wines now more than ever. And there's so many wineries in Israel that have great wines. Recanati fits in because their wines are really, really good and they're worth the price. This is really what I'm hearing. The wines are shocking people when they taste, when I do blind tastings on the Recanati wines, they feel like the wines should be a lot more expensive than what they're actually paying for the wines. So a lot of the wineries out there have amazing wines, but you want to find a wine that is affordable. You want to find a good wine that's not too expensive. I think that's what Recanati fits the bill. It's, you could get this amazing bottle of wine and you're not going to, you're going to pay, you know, a fair price for it.
Well, Recanati has also won some awards for their wines. Want to tell us about it?
Oh, yes. We've won so many awards in the past few months. Wine and Spirits Magazine gave the Yasmin Red 90 points at the Best Buy. The Wine Enthusiast Magazine gave the Special Reserve White 90 points. They gave the Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon 90 points. The Petit Sirah Zinfandel 90 points. The Carignan 91 points. And I'm sure a lot of people are aware that the Wine Spectator has that top 100 wines of the year in the December issue, which is all the wines from around the world, kosher, non-kosher. And the Recanati Cabernet Sauvignon, the regular Diamond Series, which usually retails for under $20 a bottle, was the only kosher wine that made the Wine Spectator's top 100 wines of the year list. So we are doing very well as far as you know, being compared to wines, international wines all over the world. Recanati gets top scores as a wine category.
I remember when I first encountered Recanati wines a few years back, that particular encounter was with Yasmin. It was interesting in its range, but I was not impressed. I have since tasted many other of the wines, and I am happy to say that they have come a long, long way.
They did. The wines are getting better and better. And, you know, I don't know how long ago you tasted the Yasmin, but it's totally changed. We changed the, now it's 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, 20% Merlot. It's a new package. The wine is unbelievable. It's different than the wine it was 2 years ago. It became a great bottle of wine, but it's an improved wine. It's not the Yasmin of 5 years ago. It's a totally new
That's when I first tasted it.
Yes. You know what? The next time, jasmines usually cost $13.99.
Right.
If you get around to it, pick up a bottle. It really is worth it. You'll be very, you'll be impressed. You'll say, wait, this is not the wine I remember. This is a great bottle of wine. Have you tasted any of the interesting Mediterranean series, the Petit Syrah or the
Absolutely, and I found them superb.
Yes, thank you. I know the Marsillon is very hard to find. It's a very limited item. It is an amazing bottle of wine. They make very little of it, but that's a special bottle of wine. It really is. It's a great bottle of wine, the Marsillon. And I know a lot of people are looking for it. A lot of people, people are having a hard time finding it. It is. It's hard to find. But it is available in New York, in most of the states. It's available in California. It's available in New Jersey. It's available in New York. And soon it's going to be available in Muncie. So if anybody
when you say New York, does that include Brooklyn?
Yes, it is available in Brooklyn right now. Yes. I think Brooklyn is, they're on top of their game in the kosher wine world. So
okay.
It's in Brooklyn.
What else would you recommend? And how would you pair it? Let's take some of your top wines and say, now let's forget about the Pesach. Let's talk in general. How would you pair some of those wines?
Okay, well, I like to cook. So depending on what I'm making for dinner, I like to first plan what I'm going to make, and then I use the wine. Sometimes I like to use a little bit of the wine in the recipe, and then I drink with the rest of the wine. So if I'm making something like, I love making meatballs. So if I'm going to make a meatballs with a red sauce, I like to use a little of the Petit Syrah in the sauce. It goes really well when you, cook the meatballs into the sauce. And then you drink the wine that you use in your ingredients. That really is wonderful because then you can actually, it really blends together and it works well. Let's say I'm cooking like an Asian kind of dish.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like a Chinese style chicken. I like to use the rosé. The rosé has a nice bit of acidity, a little bit of crispness, but it doesn't overwhelm the flavors, and it goes very well with salty food. I feel like sometimes when the food is very, very salty, it's hard to drink a Cabernet Sauvignon. The rosé goes very well with very salty food like Chinese food or sushi. It's hard to find a wine that pairs well with Asian food and sushi. I find the Recanati Rosé, the Barbera Merlot blend, that is the perfect complement to Asian dishes or salty dishes or sushi. What else do I like to make? Lasagnas, pizzas, anything with a red sauce, milk dishes with the red sauces, you're going to be surprised what I'm going to say, but the Cabernet Sauvignon. Cabernet Sauvignon, either the reserve or the regular, but the Cabernet Sauvignon, the taste, if you put a little in the sauce and you drink the glass with it, Cabernet Sauvignon goes very well with Italian-style meals that have red sauce in it. If you're going to go with the white sauces, like a fettuccine alfredo, then I would say good old Yasmin white. The acidity and the crispness in the Yasmin white goes very well with creamy pasta dishes and saucy foods. Yes. So am I making you hungry?
Yes, you are. Especially when you said that you cook with wine. That's a woman after my heart.
Yes. If, you know, if you're going to drink wine, you want to, you got to cook with it, and then you drink it. You're opening the bottle anyway.
Right.
You might as well, you know, put a little in the food. And you don't get drunk from it. People are worried that the kids eat it.
No, not at all. First of all, the alcohol gets burned out.
Yes.
I cook with wines and liquors quite a bit.
Yes.
Been doing that for years.
You know what else? I don't represent tequila, but if you ever make like, there's this dish I make with like a chicken fajita.
Mm-hmm.
Use tequila when you braise the chicken. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that. Thank you.
Braise it with the añejo tequila, with the onions and the peppers. It's like it changes the whole taste.
Okay, I will do that.
Yeah.
Now I have a question about the vineyards.
Yes.
You guys work with 6 vineyards.
Yes.
Manara, Kerem Ben Zimra, Safsufa Kadita, the Yisrael Valley, the Judean Hills, and Lachish. What exactly are the reasons why you work with those vineyards? Okay. What are the particular properties that made you guys choose those vineyards?
Well, each varietal type of grape thrives in another kind of in a different climate. So the winemakers, they visit these climates and they see which is the best region for growing what kind of grape. We find that the Carignan does very well in the Judean Hills, which is close to Yerushalayim. The Cabernet Sauvignon, a lot of the French varietals, the Cabernet Sauvignon, the Chardonnay, the Merlot, that does very well in the Upper Galilee. The Upper Galilee, which is it's by the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. So the climate over there, they have a terra rosa soil, so it's very, very dry and very little rainfall, and that's the optimum growing conditions for those kind of grapes. The Sauvignon Blanc does better in the Chambrun region. So the winemakers are very particular, and they're searching for the best climate for each varietal in for the grapes, which is important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yes. Quality in, quality out. Garbage in, garbage out, of course.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I got to visit the vineyards when I started with the company. And I was up there in the Galilee, and right by the vineyards were pomegranate bushes.
Mm.
I found it to be very interesting. And when I taste the Cabernet Sauvignon, I feel like I do get some of the quality of a pomegranate in the wine. And it's quite possibly because it's in the same area as the pomegranate bushes.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense, that terroir absorbs some of those juices or some of the qualities of the fruits, right?
Yeah.
What about something like Lachish, for example? What comes out of Lachish?
The winemaker has not told me all of his secrets. He has not told me all of his secrets. So some things, I bet if I ask him, he will, and maybe he'll tell me, but he doesn't give it all away. There are some things that he doesn't tell the salespeople.
Now, some of the grapes that come, for example, from Kerem Ben Zimra, from Manara, among those grapes, you have a Barbera. I am amazed at the Israeli Barberas, even though the grape originates from Italy. Not only does it taste very, very differently from Italy, but it seems like every region in Israel has a different taste of Barbera. It's hard to believe it's the same grape.
It's funny that you said it. You know what? We recognize it used to make a wine that was 100% Barbera. It didn't do very well. Now we put the Barbera into the rosé, and it is unbelievable. It just works really well as in a blend with as the rosé, but it didn't work very well.
By itself, it didn't do it, huh?
It didn't do it. I don't know. There was just certain qualities that it didn't do it. But as the rosé, it's a huge hit. But it doesn't taste like, you're right, it doesn't taste like an Italian Barbera. Just like our Shiraz doesn't taste like an Australian Shiraz, and our Sauvignon Blanc doesn't taste like a Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand. It really shows, Reconati really shows the qualities of the terroir. Like, this is an Israeli wine. This shows the Israeli climate and the Israeli soil. And that's really what I like to compare it to when people ask me, what do you compare, what region do you compare the wines of Israel to? And I just, there's no other climate I can compare the region to. This is its own climate. Israel makes Israeli wine, and you enjoy, you can taste the land of Israel by drinking an Israeli wine.
What I find interesting about Israeli wines is that in spite of the small size of the country, you have so many varied terroirs like volcanic, chalk, and so on. I mean, it's incredible that in such a small area you can have so many different flavors of the same grape depending on which terroir they grew in. You would expect that in a place like France, which is, in comparison to Israel, it's a huge monster-sized country. And yet, Israel, in spite of its smallness, is unique in the wines and the grapes that it produces.
Israel is just an amazing country. It's amazing with everything, with the food, with the land, with the grapes. I think everything that comes out of Israel is better, especially with food. If you go to Israel, the fruits, the bread, the cheese, it's just, and it's, you know, why did it take
well,
so long?
For example,
the
with the fruits, they don't use any of the artificial garbage that we use for our fruits here in the States. And when you taste an apple in Israel, it's full of flavor. When you take some of the American apples after you have tasted an Israeli apple, I mean, you can't have the American apple anymore. After I came back from Israel in 77, it took me 5 years before I started eating American apples again because they were tasteless.
Oh, my gosh. It's true. You can even taste the cucumber in Israel. It food has a taste there. It tastes organic.
Absolutely.
So I think it shows, and it shows in the grapes are fruits, and it shows in the grapes. And, you know, people are starting to realize, winemakers from all over the world are starting to realize, hey, this place has good fruit, and they're setting up, you know, vineyards, and they're doing this. Mm-hmm. Israel is a great climate, and it's very new. It's not until the 70s that Israel started importing wine to the United States. It's fairly a new region for winemaking, even though, yes, they've been making wine since, you know, back in ancient times, but real winemaking, it's still considered a new
well,
winemaking
in Israel, as we know it today, started in 1848. In fact, there is a winery called 1848, which was actually the one that was started at that time. The next winery.
Yeah, but what kind of grapes were they using? They were using weird,
at the time,
weird grapes.
The grapes. Yeah, they did not go for quality. I remember when I was a volunteer during the Six-Day War in 67, at the kibbutz where I stayed, Kibbutz Lavi, I had gotten sick and tired of the extra sweet sacramental wines. So I bought a bottle of Carignan. At the time, the Carignan was, like all the other grapes in Israel, was being grown for quantity rather than quality. And it was a horrible wine. Today, the Carignans from Israel are incredible wines. They are no longer being grown for quantity. They are now being grown for quality by people who understand what wine is.
Wow, that's amazing that you actually got to taste one of those early Carignan.
Right.
Now you
it was
know
an awful wine at the time in 1967.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's the problem. Israel was not making the kind of wine that you can sell, you know, to regular wine-drinking consumers. In the early days, they were just using wine for, you know, religious reasons.
It was mostly for religious reasons, right?
Yeah. Now, you know what? Wine is, everyone's drinking wine for the enjoyment of wine, not just for, you know, kiddush. Wine is,
right.
I think now is the time to be in the kosher wine business because people in the kosher world are drinking and collecting and learning and being serious wine people.
Well, there was a time when kosher wine was the laughingstock of the wine world. Today, they happen to be great wines, superb wines, that just happen to be kosher. So in general, the kosher wine industry has come miles and miles and thousands of miles from its early beginning.
It's true. It's an actual industry right now. It's actually kosher wine is comparable to any international wine in the world. And now,
let me ask another possibly unfair question. Aside from selling the kosher wine to the Jewish world, does Recanati have a market in the international wine market, not just kosher?
Well, I handle the U.S., so they do import all over, but I know about the U.S. market, and yes, we do have a lot of wine in the non-kosher world. We have wine in a lot of non-kosher restaurants. We have wine that sells to the regular consumers. What our goal is, and I think it's also a goal of a lot of Israeli wine companies, is we're trying to get in regular stores an Israeli section. Instead of just a kosher section, we're trying to introduce wine consumers to Israel as a wine region by making kosher wine sections. So there's a lot of restaurants right now that have, we're trying to get wine on the wine list, Israel as a section on the wine list. So people, Jewish and non-Jewish, could look at Israel as a winemaking region. So that is a big focus of Recanati right now, trying to say, hey, Israel is a great place to make wine, but not just kosher wine, but this is a great place to make wine. And the world should recognize Israel as a wine region, like Chile, like Italy, like France, Israel. So,
okay.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have, our distributor is Southern Wines and Spirits in New York. They're not a kosher distributor, and most of the people are not trained in kosher. So their goal is getting the wines on the shelf, trying to teach retailers about Israel as a wine region.
And we're just about out of time. In spite of the fact that I have so many more questions, but we'll have to do it another time.
Sure. And
meanwhile,
my pleasure.
Thank you very, very much for being on our show. Good night,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen. We've had the pleasure of talking to Esti Wartenberg from the Recanati Winery, the American brand ambassador. Please listen in to us again tomorrow evening, when we will be talking to the four partners of Israeli Wines Direct. Thank you and good night. Thank you, one and all.
Good night.
Good night.